Morning, everybody. We're up to Perek Gimel of the Tiferes Yisrael. Last week,
Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you very much. Same to you. Last week, in Perek Beis, he focused, the focus of the discussion was about the idea that a person has to pick up Maisa Ha'adam in order to be able to create the Shleimus, to create the perfection. That things in the world are not created necessarily in their perfect state. Farkir, we spoke about the notion of Shakai. Hashem stopped the creation of the world at a certain point, and he expected man to finish the job. And the pursuit of Torah, what Torah gives us is the option to be able to be mashlim, to be able to complete that picture. And that was the focus of our discussion last week. And this week, what the Maharal speaks about in Perek Gimel is a continuation of that. In a specific nuance and form, which is that what he's going to speak about is the idea that that's a constant. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person and there's still work to be done. So you know what? You know, it's like if you work for the government, you know, and you'll finish the work in 15 minutes and then you can take the rest of the day off. Right? Or you work for whatever it is and you're going to finish up quickly and it'll be done. No. The situation is such that the work is going to have to be, the work is going to be constant. And something that the person is going to have to be engaged in all the time throughout life. That there is no point where the person just says, okay, the work is done, we are finished. This is the idea which he's going to be teaching here. And again, seeing Torah, the discussion here is not going to be in today's parak. It's not going to be so fundamentally about the Torah per se as an item, but as he's going to wrap up the parak, he'll say, well, and of course, this work that we're talking about, we're going to demonstrate how it's going to be through Torah. But this is the fundamental principle which he tries to teach here in this parak. The idea that he's going to talk about is expressed in Chazal. I'm just trying to create a framework here for his discussion. Expressed in Chazal, he's mentioned it in a different shir, in a different context this week, where Chazal say that the term Vayeshev, and he sat and he settled, is a loshein tsar. It always comes with negative things associated with it. What's the most famous incidence of Vayeshev? Is the Vayeshev of Parshas Vayeshev. What's the Vayeshev there? Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Avi Beretz Canaan. Yaakov settled in the land of where his father had lived, in the land of Canaan. And then it goes on to tell the story of Yosef and his brothers. Says Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov Avinu wanted to live peacefully. I mean, he had a hard life. From his mother's womb, he had been fighting with his brother. When he came out, the fighting continued. He had to go and do all kinds of shtick in order to get the brachos from his father, who didn't love him as much as his other brother. He then had to run away to a different place where he meets up with his father-in-law, who wrote the book, so to speak, right, with Lavan. And it's, you know, the switcheroo of the wives and that whole thing, 20 years of deceit and constant difficulty. Then he comes back, Machaya, right? Then he has to face Esav again. And then when he gets past Esav, his daughter Dinah has her whole story with Shechem. I mean, Yaakov Avinu had a hard life. And there was a reason why he looked old when he came before Paro, not just because he was 130 years old. So the thing is, so Yaakov said, you know, now I'm back home in my father's, where my father lived, let me relax. Because Yaakov Leishei B'Shalva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what? Tzadikim, you want to sit B'Shalva in this world? That's not what this world is for. Right, Olam Haba is for that. In this world, you got to work. So, Kafetz Olav Regzei Shel Yosef. So now he has the next challenge, the story of Yosef. So the idea is, and Maral writes about this in many places, that the idea of Vayeshev is because of this idea that a person has to understand that our masav, our situation in this world, is created for development. Vayeshev implies complacency, implies, okay, now we're going to settle in the way we are. And that's not what this world is for. That's not what this world is for. This world is for movement, for constant movement, change, development, growth. That's the way it is. Rav Moshe Shapira says always that the idea that the world, the word for earth is Eretz, and the word for heaven is Shamayim. What's the implication of this? I didn't tell this to you recently, did I? No, is that right? The word for Eretz is earth, because what's the Shoresh? The Shoresh is Rutz, is movement. To run, right? Always trying to move. Shamayim is Shem, there. You're there. You've arrived. You've made it, right? There you can rest. But in this world, it's constantly running, constantly moving, constantly progressing, constantly changing. That's the MO. That's the nature of the way things need to be for us. That's why we discussed this in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the beginning of the second parak, where it says, "Yafe Talmud Torah im derech eretz sheyegias shneim mashkachas avayim." Talmud Torah, together with worldly work, is good, is nice, because toil in them both makes sin a forgotten thing. What's the idea? Yegia is also the same thing. What's yegia mean? What's the term yegia? It means toil. But what's the shoresh? Is lahagia, to reach, to arrive. Yegia is to make the efforts to arrive. You have to constantly be working both on both realms of your existence, on the physical realm, on the spiritual realm. When you're toiling and moving forward in both, Yigia shneim mashkachas avayim. So a person always has to be upwardly mobile, always moving, always trying to grow, always trying to change. This is a fact of life. Let's now try to translate these ideas, which we know this idea generally. You know, Rav Chaim Lozner, Eira Chaim lemala lemaskil penteret shel mata. He says on the pasuk of Mishlei, a wise person is always moving upward, because you know if you don't move upward, you fall down. There's no middle ground. There's no maintenance. There's no treading water. Right? People will say this in life in general. You know, in the corporate world, right? You can't just maintain your position. You always got to be creating. You always got to be cutting edge. You always got to be doing something. Otherwise, you're going to slip behind. You're going to fall down. You're going to fall down. There's no such thing as maintenance, of just simply maintaining a level. If we're maintaining, we are falling. Okay. So that's, again, that's a principle, an idea that we have generally. Let's hear how the Maharal expresses it in Maharalian terms. Says the Maharal. Right, he begins the parak and he says, a person with malas nasha lekis hashikvar amarnu, right, al yikabel eino ba'atmei leimar, a person shouldn't trick himself to say, ki yesh le malasei ha'achreinu b'peil, that he's there, that he's made it. V'yachshav v'nachshav shalom yili, Af imani yoshev botel mibli amel klal. I'll be okay even if I just sit without toiling, without working. He thinks, I've made it. Thank God, I'm okay. I've accomplished. I have a certain spiritual level of achievement, a certain level of learning, a certain level of growth. Dover ze machshevas pigul lo yerotze. He says this is a very, very incorrect thought. It will not be accepted. Play on words, as the Maharal does. It's a fatal mistake. Person's level of his soul is never the pile. The pile means is never active, is never actual. The man has not arrived. What he writes here is the idea that a human being can never consider themselves as having reached their final level as long as they're around. As long as they're around in this world. Malachim, yeah, once you're up there, once you're with the angels, says the Maharal, then you could say, you are where you're going to be. You're at Malasai HaAchreina. But as long as you're down here, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You constantly are dynamic, changing for the better, or heaven forbid, for the worse. Remember the Rashi in Parshas Vayetze, where he points out, Hein Bigdoishav Lo Yamin, that Hashem, with one exception, but otherwise never says, Elokei so-and-so, the God of so-and-so, until the man is dead. Right? By Yitzchak, once he was blind, Hashem said, Elokei Yitzchak. Because since he was blind, he was considered to be, to some degree, Choshev Kameis. He was like he was dead. He wasn't going to be changing that much at this point in time. He was pretty much static. One has to understand it, because Yitzchak did a lot of interesting things when he was blind. Right? But that's not for our discussion right now. We're going to talk about the rule, not about the exception. The rule is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't trust, I don't say, oh, you know what, Avram Avinu is such a tzaddik. I could say God of Avram. If he's still alive, don't. And the illustration, very sobering illustration, was a person named Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who served in the Kohuna Gedola for 80 years, and in the end he became a tzaduki. Became a Sadducee. It ain't over, as a great man, honorary member of Chazal once said, until it's over. Right? It ain't over until it's over. Right? You can't...
Yogi Berestein.
Yogi Berestein, that's right. So you can't rest. You can't rest. It's always, always work to be able to maintain it. He says, Elyonim Malachim, yeah. Malachim, they are. They're created. They're static. They are where they are. Behemoths, as we're going to learn a little bit more about in detail later, animals, lower beings, also, they're static. They are what they are. They are what they will be. But a human being is dynamic. A human being is dynamic, is constantly changing, constantly subject to change. Why? How is that? How is that a human being is constantly subject to change? So he says, Nivra b'kev em b'pail. Their perfection is there, it's actual. The ones below man, it's not they are indeed whatever they're going to be, but all they are going to be is just really potential, what we would call b'koach. There's never an actualization. There's never a real self-realization that happens with a behema. Only a person is the one who has to focus on development and dynamic change. That's it. That's the idea which he says. Now let's try to, again, the way he expresses it in Maharalian terms, we will dwell on for a few minutes. And then we're going to talk about it in some practical terms and some of the magnificent illustrations of the principle as they are taught by the Maharal. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarav.
Amen.
Okay. So he says like this. Thank you. We're familiar from learning the words of the Maharal with the notions of Chaimer and Tzura, matter and form. Everything is always discussed in those terms. So let's just go over the idea, the concept, very, very simply. We use our very simple mashal for the idea of Chaimer and Tzura. Chaimer is, if we had sitting on this table, a ball of Play-Doh, of clay, just sitting here. That's Chaimer, that's matter. It's raw material. It's unfinished. It's undeveloped. What do you do with it? So you take it and you form it. Maybe you have, right, you have a mold, a form that you can go and put on it, and it'll shape it into a beautiful flower or into a human figure. Or you're more sophisticated and you go and you take it with your fingers and you form and you mold something, right, to make something out of it that's useful. That, when it's finished, is a tzura imprinted on a chaimer. Is a form imprinted on the matter. It took your mind, it took your intelligence, it took your goals, right? Now, left to themselves, they would be an abstraction, right? Without the chaimer, without the matter, you could think cup from today till tomorrow, but you can't drink from a thinking cup, right? A thinking cap, but not a thinking cup, right? It doesn't work. You have to take the tzura, which is the mind, the seichel, and the plan, and the intellect, and put it to the chaimer, and then you have something, actually, you have this cup that can contain. That's the way it works. We understand, in that broad description, that the higher level thinking is tzura, we identify with tzura, and the more basic provision of the material is called the chaimer. Now, at risk of being terribly misunderstood, right, especially by the group sitting here as opposed to people who might listen to this shiur over the internet, right, that's the idea which we speak about when we say, when the Maharal speaks always about male being tzura and female being chaimer, right? Well, how does that work, right? So the woman, let's say biologically, right, so she's there, the man is, you know, in the act of relation between man and woman, the man imposes, so to speak, form upon the woman, right? That's the idea. The man goes to the woman. The man's seed goes and defines to some degree what's considered the egg, which would be considered the basic material, comes and gives it more of its, so to speak, shape and form. That's going to come from the man. The woman, in the classic a division of the house, there isn't a pure, clear division. But the woman develops the physical home, right? And the man is supposed to be infusing it with Talmud Torah, right? With the higher ideas, the higher vows. Now, of course, we know that, again, it's not a clear, cut and dry division, right? The woman is providing something called Teiras Imecha. The woman provides a great degree of that spirituality. But to some degree, of course, we do still make this division. The man has the obligation of Talmud Torah, which is going to be the more heady, the more refined, defined spirituality. This is all the way we do it. This is the way we talk about the division between Chomer, the basic, and Tzura, the more refined, the more developed. An animal is pure Chomer, is seen as pure Chomer, pure physicality. In fact, there is an animal which often serves as the prototypical animal. What is it? The donkey, which is known as a chamor. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Mitzrayim, he came riding on a chamor. We say the Mashiach, L'asid Lavai, will be Oni V'Rechev Al Chamor. Right? So the chamor, there are many animals which provide different, so to speak, classic, not many, but several animals which provide different classic metaphors. The chamor is, excuse me, even in the vernacular, right, when you try to speak about somebody who is a totally mindless idiot, what do you call him? Don't say. Okay, but you know, in Hebrew, we say chamor, right? You know, that's why you refer to people, right? In English, we have a word which is considered a little bit more base. Right? But that's the idea. The chamor is, blah, slow moving, right? Which is also a factor, as we know, of physicality, is that physicality is static. It doesn't change, right? When you have a hard time waking up in the morning, what is it? Because it's hard to get moving because of your chumrius, because of your physicality. And that's the way it works. That's the way all of it works. So we say that there's this chaimer tzura, there's this relationship between the two. The chamor is going to be the basic physicality, and that's the way animals are. That's the way they are. So of course, look, beavers build dams, right? They use their mind in order to create things. We again remember, don't take things as black and white. That there's no such thing as any kind of development that exists in the animal kingdom. That's not the way it works. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them some ability to develop things and to impose. But fundamentally, they are considered to be base and remaining there. Human being, Malach, is considered as pure Tzura, right? But without the ability to apply it to anything, to apply it to the physical world. The Malach isn't dynamic. The Malach is living there in the spiritual world. What do we call the Malachim? right? It's a pasuk. It's not like a drasha, right? The pasuk refers to them as the aimdim, right? When asatil chamahalchim bein ha'aimdim ha'ela, right? Malachim are called aimdim, standing, static. They are the way they are, and they will remain the way they are. A human being is called a mahalach, one who moves, dynamic. The ability to have the dynamic is to take the form, the mind, and to apply it to the physicality, to change it, to transform it. Excuse me for 1 second. Okay, so that's the idea, and that's the notion. That's a human being, and we know that those are always the dynamics of the struggle. Will our chaimer, will our physicality define us, or will we allow the tsura, the mind, the intelligence, to instead give it its form? Now, I want to give you. I want to just to go to a step here of how the Maharal uses this. Language-wise, beautifully, how the Maharal uses it language-wise. Adam, Behema. We'll start with Behema. Behema is two words. Ba-ma. Ba means in it, ma, what. Now, you and I would read that, we would say, so in other words, what it's saying is, what's in it? Nothing to it. The Maharal understands ba-ma differently. He says, whatever it is going to be already in it. The Gemara has an expression, Shur ben yoimai kori shur. The truth is, in the Torah, we have different terms when we speak about a little calf and a big cow or bull, right? Egel, shur. But the Gemara says the truth is that Shur ben yoimai kori shur. Even when it's one day old, even on the day that it's born, you can already call it a shur. And we know that from simply a physical empirical perspective. An animal, it's a very, very short time from the time that it's born till the time that it's essentially fully functioning. Right? A few licks from the mother and it's walking around. Right? It's doing its thing. The slow process of growth and development is unique to a human being, even on a physical level. A behema, ba-ma. You'll see it, so to speak, as Flip Wilson used to say, we're quoting all of these great people, what you see is what you got, right? That's it. It's going to be, it is where it is, it's going to be where it's going to be. Excuse me. What? Huh? It's okay. At that time, television was motor. Right. So this is it. This is what was going to be. Where will be, and that was all that it was going to be. However, Adam. What's the term Adam? Adam is called Adam because he's created from the Adama. I have a question. Behemoths were also created from the Adama. It says Taitzear. It's Nefesh Chaya Lamina. In fact, if anything, a human being is created from a combination of Adama and divine, right? Now, the body from the Adama, the soul from above. Why are you calling Adam Adama? Why are you calling Adam Adam because he's from the Adama? So he says, because Adama, earth, is exactly that. Adama is fertile. Adama, you put seeds into it, and over time, right, the seeds will decompose and take root, and then they'll grow, and things develop. Adama is process. Constant change, constant dynamic. And that's Adam. And as he says, right, the language, he doesn't use it here, Rabbi Hartman brings it from elsewhere, but he says, just like you take the seed and you put it into the ground, and there, in the context of the ground, it flourishes and develops, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the neshama and he put it into the body, which is the Adama, and there it will flourish and develop, and its development will be seen. The Gemara says, "Imru l'tzadik ki tov ki pri malaleihem yochelu." Say of the tzadik that he is good, that the fruits of their deeds they will eat. What are the fruits of their deeds? Are there ma'asim tovim? Right. We speak about a human being right, who didn't have a chance to do things yet, to function yet, to accomplish yet, as like a fallow piece of ground. Remember by the Egla Rufo, where the person, the murder victim is found, we take him out to a place, piece of land that was never worked, Nachal Eson, right? Right, the earth never had a chance to develop, to produce fruits. What does Rashi say in the beginning of Parshas Noach? Eile toldos Noach, these are the fruits, the offspring of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, tamim haya b'day raisav, he went with Azalakim Esalach Noach. And then the next verse says, Noach gave birth to three sons. So one shad Rashi says is, Eile toldos Noach, these are the children of Noach, the offspring of Noach. Oh, look, I'm Noach, let me tell you a little bit about Noach. Before we get to Israel, let me tell you a little bit about Noach. Zecher tzaddik livrocha. You mentioned the tzaddik, you talk about him a little bit. Right? Tangents. However, the other pshat say Chazal, no. Read it literally. You know what the main offspring, the main peiros of a person are? Maisim tovim, the deeds which we do. The deeds which we do are our main fruits. That's prima lelehem. A human being is, in that sense, supposed to be very, very much completely dynamic. Now think about it in the terms, how a human being grows. When is a person considered to be already developing? What do Chazal tell us? We know that a child, from the moment that it's born, the Gemara has a debate, even maybe before it's born, or maybe in fact that's what starts, that's what comes in to make the baby be born, to come out into this world, it has a Yetzer Hara. Right? It has a consciousness and awareness of physicality. But when does it get its Yetzer Tov? Bar Mitzvah. What really happens when a person becomes Bar Mitzvah? Right, so now this little halo-wearing white angel comes in to join him on the opposite shoulder of the one with the forked tail. That's what happens suddenly. Okay, you gave me Yetzer Tov. What happens? What do we call a Bar Mitzvah? A Bar Mitzvah is Das. Bar Das. He reaches a certain level of intelligence. Right, children can be, young children can also be very, very smart. We're talking, of course, well, you say, now, come on, you know, really, that's what it is. But again, how does Bar Das compare to Yetzer Tov? It's very simple. Bar Das is that your intelligence starts to drive your actions instead of your physicality driving your actions. As you get older and more mature, it's not supposed to be just that now your intelligence is a tool of your physicality, that now you're going to be able to figure out how to get that convertible when you didn't have a chance to be able to do that when you were 6 years old. No, farkert. The das that we're looking for in a bar das is that now instead of the body dominating and the mind being just a slave to the body, instead, now, the mind is supposed to be able to control. The tzura is imprinted on the chaymer. That's growth. And that's a process. And it's, as we know, it constantly changes. Just because you're bar mitzvah, it doesn't mean that your mind is going to be the master over your body. Right? You could have the body master over your mind. 1 minute you can have the body mastering your mind. The next minute you can have your mind mastering your body. Right? On your way to go and visit that person who really you would, you know, will benefit from it fantastically, you can stop off and, you know, buy a dozen donuts and finish them on the way. Right? And, you know, just an absurd example, you know, but maybe not so absurd. But you know, a simple example, like Pastor John Munchkins. Right? So the dynamic is constantly there. And the same way by the animal, you know, you give it a few licks and it's walking and it's doing its thing and it's ready to go is because, yeah, it's not, oh, it's created already with fulfillment. There's no dynamic there. There's no dynamic there. It's its chaymer. It's always going to be its chaymer. By the malach, it's its tzura. It's always going to be its tzura. By human being, as we know, the uniqueness is that it's this marriage of tzura and chaymer and the ability of bringing the tzura to the chaymer and the dynamic of its constant interaction that it can become stronger, it can become lesser. Yes?
I assume that when we use the term bar das, are we understanding das in that highest level form of reasoning? Contemplate concepts beyond new ideas. We're talking about that's because kids, 6, 7, 8 year old kids can memorize facts, and you know, 11 year old
right.
kids can start thinking about analysis. But is that how we're referring to Das?
We're talking about bringing it home. You know, Das is connection also, right? Everybody know? V'hadam yada es chava ishtay. Adam knew his wife. That was a term, that's a term for intimacy, for connection, for bringing the connection between the two of them. That's the level of das that we're talking about. Again, we're not talking about simple retention of knowledge, right? You take a child, when they're a little tiny child, a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, you can fill those skulls with all kinds of fantastic information. We're talking about yediya being connection, a real, real level of connection, of bringing it home, so that it impacts on who you are, it impacts on who your decision, right? That chomer tzura dynamic. You know, just an illustration of this, something which may have shared with some of you, not in the context of this shiur, but in the context of the end of Pesach, Sfiras HaEmer. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim the next day, what do? We bring the Karban HaEmer. Karban HaEmer is the first offering from the new grains. What is it brought from? Brought from barley. Barley is considered to be animal food, right? Cholent notwithstanding. It's considered to be animal food. It also happens to be the food that, the grain that, is ready the quickest. Interesting, huh? As soon as it comes out, you know, it's, as soon as things start to spring, wheat, it takes a long time for it to develop. The barley, it's out quick. It's machal behema. Shavuos, the festival of the giving of the Torah, then what do we eat? We eat bread, which is made from the new wheat. That's what we offer to Hashem. We offer to Hashem the shtei alechem, the two loaves made from wheat flour. The wheat has had a chance to develop. Then we take it and we refine it and build it further. That's Torah. That's what it is. Yitzias Mitzrayim was b'chipazon, was quick. We were slaves and then we were freed. Okay, so there was something. But it was very basic. For to become what we could be, we would have to develop. Right? B'zeyas apecha teichalechem, what we talked about over the last couple of weeks. Right? Using the mind and the human capacity, even in a material sense, is visible, but it takes time. Sfiras ha'emer, the counting of the emer, counting progressively, building, developing. That's the difference between behema, which is bama, what you see is what you got, and adam, that there's going to be this incremental process that hopefully is always headed in the positive direction, but not necessarily. Remember, we stood at Har Sinai, and what did we do 40 days later? Shivasar B'tamuz, the golden calf. Smash those tablets. Up, down. Dynamic. The Chaymer Tzura is not static. It's just not the way it is. Each one is constantly trying to leave its imprint on the other. And we know, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. Tell me something. When Adam was created, how old was he? Okay, everybody knows. He was 20. Zero, right? What age was he created at? Meaning, you know, if you look at something, you created in as an infant. It was created as a mature adult, just physically, also spiritually, right? He was given the intuition and knowledge to have everything. He was chote, he sinned. What happened? Because Adam was created with the spiritual controlling. And he was chote to go and say, okay, let's create a dynamic. You told me, the spiritual tells me not to eat from the tree of knowledge, but I'm attracted by the fruit. The physical is nice. And he puts it into himself, and now the physical becomes a driver. So what's the next thing that we know? We learn about development. We learn about sweating to create bread. But we also learn about the fact that the woman is told, oy, now, pregnancy, process. Childbirth, process. Raising children, process. Be'etzev tel dibanim. Why? Because now that it's a dynamic in a human being, there's going to have to be a process of growth. He's not going to be ready-made. He's not going to be there. By the way, beautiful little thing. what do we refer to as a person who is absent growth, positive values? You know what he's referred to as?
Lawyer. Just picking up on a theme.
You beat me to it. Boor. Right? Boor. I mean, there's a term Am Ha'aretz, and there's a term boor. Right? What's a boor? A boor is from the term, right? I'm not talking about the term in English, a boor. I'm talking about the term in Lashon Kodesh. Boor is, Sade boor is a field which is fallow, which nothing grows in. You understand? Adam is supposed to be Adama, supposed to be earth, fertile, to grow, to change, where all that those possibilities of change are there. The boor is the one who just leaves it without development, without the possibility, without developing the possibilities, the potentialities which are there within the person. Okay. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's a fascinating Gemara. I'll explain it to you a little bit, but to tell you the truth, you know, there are aspects of it which, you know, on a level of Yediyah, so to speak, I don't really fully understand. But the Maral gives a neat explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, at the top. The Gemara says, Nefesh Amal Amela Loiki Akaf Alav Piu, and the Gemara says, Kol Adam L'Amal Nivra. A person was created for Amal, for toil, for work. A person was created to work. Life, right, as we've probably realized by now, is not a walk in the park. It's not for ease. It's for work. As the Pasuk says in Iyov, Ki Adam La'amal Yulad, man was born to toil, to work. However, any idea, Im La'amal Penivra, Im La'amal Melacha Nivra. I don't know if man was created for the work of the mouth or for the work of physical toil, says the Gemara. So says the Gemara, but then we look at the other Pasuk, the Pasuk in Mishle, which says, Ki Akaf Alav Piu, in connection with Amal. So that tells you it's L'amal Penivra. It was created for the toil of the mouth. Now, what's the mouth? When we speak about the mouth, we speak about the Koach HaDibur, the power of speech, which is that which distinguishes a human being, especially intelligence, the power as expressed in the power of speech. Ruach Memalala, says the Gemara. But then, okay, so it's L'amal Peh, for the mouth. But I'm still not sure. Im la'amal Torah? Does that mean Torah study, which is done with your mouth? Or does that mean la'amal sicha, for conversation? Shu'aymer, when it says, la'yomu sefer ha'Torah zemipicha, ha'v'yomer la'amal Torah nivra. But it says the Torah should not leave your mouth. You should contemplate it day and night. So evidently, that's what we're created for. And so that's the Gemara. Now tell me something. What was the Gemara thinking exactly? A person was created for just work. A person was created just for conversation. Like, what are these different aspects, these different levels? So the Maral explains it. And again, I will not tell you that I'm like perfectly comfortable, but he certainly defines the three levels very, very sharply. What I say when I'm not comfortable with it is that did the Gemara really have a serious thought otherwise? But I think we can still understand it in the stages which he describes. He says, look, you know, a human being, as we've been talking about here, we're saying, okay, look, you have to take the tzura, you have to take the intelligence, you have to take the wisdom and the direction and bring it to bear on the physicality. So where's that? There's malacha, that's the physicality, working with your body, working with your hands, right? So there, that work, that toil, that change, maybe that's really the dynamic which the person is supposed to use and develop and build. That's the Adam La'amal Yulad. Says the Gemara, no, but it's Lepihu, which is not just taking the physicality, but it's also for the Peh, for intelligence. But intelligence also has two spheres. There's basic human intelligence, the application of basic human intelligence, what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, where a human being uses his intelligence in unique ways in order to be able to succeed in the world, in order to be able to be providing all of the things, all of the material needs which we have. the conquest of science, of the world, of nature, all of these things, that's omal peh. That's sicha. Sicha doesn't mean to schmooze, to shoot the breeze. Right? Sicha in this context would mean human interaction for intelligence purposes. Okay, so you're right. Maybe it can't just be for physical work. It also has to be for developing of the mind. But maybe that's it. No. It says, lo yom sefer atera azemi picha, which is the specific kind of intelligence, which is the Torah's kind of intelligence, the word of Torah, to insert the divine, not just the higher intelligence which a human being has, which can be developed without Torah, but the next level, the much higher level, which is only going to be there with the Torah. But it's always la'amal, it's always the toil. So that's the way he understands this Gemara. So you understand, again, what he's doing, and by defining these levels, is he's looking at the areas where a human being is dynamic, which is the whole theme of this parak. This pasuk is saying, this Gemara is saying, a person is created to grow, created to toil, to create it to work, never to simply be secure and plateau and just be there. But it's not just going to be on the basic realms. It's going to be on the higher and highest realms. And I'm going to just conclude, as I said, I have to conclude a little bit earlier today than usual, with the Maharal's citation of a beautiful medrash. It's a medrash in Vayikra, and the medrash says like this, Gama nefesh leiti malei, pasuk in Kehelis, that the soul will never be filled, meaning the soul will never be satisfied. You know, that pasuk also should ring to us here, as we speak in this parak about this theme, that a person never has really made it until they're off someplace else. Which nobody's in a rush to get to. So he says, what's the idea? Lefisha nefesh yodas shekol asher tiyageya la'atzma tiyageya. Lefikach eina seveya mitzvah sumasim toivim. The soul knows that everything which it toils, it will toil to benefit itself. It will never be satisfied of its mitzvah sumasim toivim. Amar Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Levi said, Moshe li'irayni shayanosui bas malachim. There was a villager, a farmer, who married a princess. Right? However it happened, she fell in love with this regular village man, and she married him. Afal pi shemachila kol madanei melech. Even if he says, look, you know, I'm married to a princess, so I've got to go, I've got to get her the finest clothing. I mean, I have to get her the finest foods, like the kind that they feed them in the palace of the king. Eina yaitzei chevasei. He'll never, so to speak, fulfill his obligation. She's never going to be completely comfortable. Lama, why? She bas malachim. She's still a princess. So you can bring her the food from the palace. You can bring her the clothing from the palace. But she's still not in the palace. She's still not in the palace. Kach, said, concludes the medrash, whatever a person does for his soul, all the spiritual satisfaction he will give it. But it's never done, because the soul is from above. Ufishi milmala. So what's this medrash telling you? You are condemned to a life of misery? No, chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, heaven forbid, what the medrash is telling you is that indeed you have to understand that because you have within you, we have within us, every one of us has within ourselves, the soul which is from above, the soul of which was created in spiritual contexts, which is built from that spirit, from everything else. So yes, we're constantly in the world of trying to apply that, to make that, to feed it by satisfying its spiritual thirst, hopefully. That's our goal, is to constantly be working to satisfy its spiritual thirst. But it's always still here in the world of the physical. So it's always working in an environment which is different than the spiritual. So to ever say, oh, great, fine, we've achieved spiritual success, finished, we're done. You won't. You won't. You will, God willing. But after 120 years, right, where it will go to the world of Shabbos, to the world where you say, okay, now you've made it, now you can rest, now you can sit back. But as long as you're here, the spiritual striving will always be striving on one level or another, because we're still very, very much constantly in the material environment with everything else which is there. Yeah.
The mentor doesn't say that she'll never be happy. What it says is that he's never yotzei me'chavos.
Excellent. Exactly.
He's got to continue to bring the things that will satisfy him, but he just can't stop.
It'll never be the palace. It'll never be the palace. But go. Right, you say it doesn't say she'll never be happy. She'll never be full. That's the expression. You will never have completed the job until
can't say you're done.
You cannot say you're done. Correct.
Is this the same address that Ram Kal brings?
This is brought by many forms. So this is a classic. And so he ends the perek, right? Because here we're talking about his Torah. V'davar zeh mechayev Torah mishem min hashamayim l'mishi yedei inin hanefesh u'madrigosa shi min hashamayim. Says this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. The soul came from the heavens, right? It needs to be satisfied. That dimension of ourselves, that potential which exists within ourselves, that is what the Torah is coming to satisfy, what the Torah is coming to address. When the farmer is going out and getting madane melech, things from the palace that the princess is going to enjoy and going to appreciate and going to be familiar with, that's what we're doing when we're talking about the Torah, which is heavenly. It's not just simply earthy wisdom. It's the heavenly wisdom to satisfy and to address the needs of the heavenly soul. That's the idea here. That's the way this piece works. That's it. And so, as we pursue the task of the Torah, the study of Torah, of that Omol, which is constant, which, you know, as the Gemara says, when the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel asked him, he says, you know, I've studied all of the Torah. Right? Can I now do some other stuff? So he says, sure. You know when? He says, as soon as you find a time that's neither day nor night, right, you can do it, because the Torah just says you have to study Torah day and night. Okay, so study Torah day and night. When you find that it's neither day nor night, go ahead and do the other stuff, which of course means, you know, discretionary. You know, when you can choose, you know, what to do. Rabbi Shmuel was the one when the Gemara said that a person has to work. You know, it's an interesting thing. Many Rishonim talk about it. It's beyond what we're talking about here. But yeah, you gotta. But the process of growth in that sense. It's constant, and it's lifelong. You can't say, oh, I learned Torah already. Now, what can I do? It's lifelong, and not just Torah learning, which none of us has a problem imagining why that's lifelong, because we know how vast it is. But the more fundamental, this sense of having made it spiritually, never. Never. It's constant work. It's constant dynamic. This shiur was not meant to be depressing, even if it came out that way. Not at all. The most depressing thing is when it's over. Right? You ever get really psyched for some big event or some big meeting, some big trial? And what happens when you finish? Even when you win, you're not alive anymore. You're not alive anymore. It's done. Hashem doesn't give us any such problem in this world. If we're let down, it's because we prematurely stopped working. It's like we're let down. We feel that let down in the middle of the trial. It's because we feel it's headed south and we've given up. We never give up. And we're always working. It's never secure. It's always attainable. Have a good one.